And to help us talk more about the NFL draft, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dane Brugler from The Athletic, who is kind enough to join us on our show every year around this time, the NFL draft guru for The Athletic. Dane, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Dane, as you can imagine, obviously a lot of conversation here in Nashville about Joe Alt and the left tackle position. When you talk to people about Joe Alt, when you watch Joe Alt, how do you view him in terms of how he compares to the other left tackles in this draft? Is there a gap between him and everybody else in your mind? How do you view the Joe Alt part of this from your evaluation?
Yeah, you never use the word consensus because, honestly, that word should never be used in any draft conversation because there's never a consensus on all these players. But I would say the overwhelming majority of evaluators believe Joe Alt is the top offensive lineman in this draft. And it's from a combination of what you like on film, but then also what you think his ceiling is and the fact that he's still growing and getting better. 6'8 and a half, 320 pounds. The height does work against him at times, but he can bend and he does get power from his lower body. And he has long arms. He has over 34-inch arms. And I think what you love most about Joe Alt is the fact that he grew up as an athlete. He didn't grow up playing offensive line his entire life. I mean, his dad was a Pro Bowler back in the early 90s for Joe Montana in Kansas City, protecting his blind side. But he grew up, Joe Alt grew up playing quarterback. He grew up playing tight end. It wasn't really until his senior year of high school that he became more of an offensive lineman. And then at Notre Dame, obviously, is where he really got better year after year after year. And even going back to the summer, when I was preparing for this upcoming draft and doing my early legwork, watching Joe Alt, I was, okay, this guy's clearly good, but, you know, I'm not quite on board with him yet as being a top half around one guy. But then throughout this year, he made so many key improvements. And so that's the big thing with Joe Alt. Yes, he's good right now, but it's the year-over-year improvement that he continues to make and the ceiling that you think he's going to reach that gets you so excited.
I want to stick with Joe Alt, Dane. So on one hand, I wanted to ask, how would you compare him? So he's the top offensive lineman in this draft, maybe to some of the other top like left tackles in recent drafts. Is there any drop-offs from, you know, some of those guys that come to mind? But then also, if, let's say, the Titans weren't able to get him, you know, the Chargers take him at five or whatever, other tackles in this draft, are any of them, in your mind, worthy of the number seven pick?
Yeah, and I think, obviously, you look at some of the tackles that have come out recently, and Joe Alt has a lot of what they offer. I think some of them are a little bit maybe older, more experienced, more in terms of their schooling of offensive line play, a little bit more advanced. Just they've been doing it longer. But I think with Alt, you know, you look at he has a lot of the ingredients that you're looking for at the position. He has the athleticism. His three-cone and short shuttle at the combine were outstanding. You look at the size, and he has the length that you want. He has big hands. And then the year-over-year improvement, like I mentioned, I think that's key for him. So, you know, if you were going to compare him to, say, like an Andrew Thomas coming out of Georgia, the Giants took top five, or, you know, some of these recent offensive linemen, I mean, he's right there up in that conversation. And so I think it becomes interesting. Jake Matthews, when he's coming out of Texas A&M, I think that's a really good comparison, even though they have different body types. I think there's some similarities there. And obviously, Jake Matthews has been a really good player for a long time down in Atlanta. And to that point, that's why he could be off the board in the first six picks. So if he is gone, then, okay, what's plan B? Is it one of these other offensive linemen? I am a fan of Olufoshinu from Penn State. I think when you look at what he has done the last 2 years, 6'6", 315 pounds, good athlete. His ability to sink his weight is really impressive. The body control is outstanding. He is not as well-versed as a run blocker as some of these other guys in this draft, but in pass protection, that's what you are really hanging your hat on with Olufoshinu. So, you know, he has had a really good last 2 years. He's still just 21 years old. He's a young player, still growing, really smart, characters off the charts. So, you know, I think with this offensive line class, it's kind of pick your strength. What are you looking for? If you want maybe the strongest player in the draft, J.C. Latham from Alabama could be your guy. If you're looking for versatility up front, then Troy Fautanu from Washington, that might be who you look at as that second best offensive lineman. So I think it's an offensive line rich class at the top in terms of the first round, top 25. We're going to see a lot of these guys fly off the board. It just comes down to what do you really prioritize in terms of what you're looking for, what are you looking to address? And so that might determine ultimately what direction the Titans go.
Dane Brugler with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Dane, you know, I watched Brock Bowers play in college and just am wowed every time I watch him play. What stands out to you about when you watch him on tape? Would that be a crazy option for the Titans at number 7 overall? How do you view Bowers and where he fits into this mold here?
And crazy, no. Risky, sure. Just because you look at the hit rate at the position and drafting a tight end that early, especially when if he's drafted at number 7 overall, he's going to enter the NFL as one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. So, there is risk involved. But like you said, when you watch his tape, you just come away saying, okay, yeah, this guy is just so dynamic. He can be a playmaker. It really comes down, if you're a general manager, you have to have a lot of trust in your offensive play caller that he's going to understand how best to use a talent like this, because you can't draft Brock Bowers 7th overall and then just plug him in as an inline tight end and not really feature him like he should be featured. So with Brock Bowers, that's the key, is the versatility that he offers. You want to line him up as a slot receiver, he can do that no problem. You want to line him up outside, he could be an X receiver. I mean, he could be a Z. You can line him up in the backfield. You can line him up on the wing. Doing whatever you want to do with Brock Bowers is kind of the key to really opening up everything he can do and what that means to the entire offense, because the defense has to account for Brock Bowers on every single play. And when you're lining him up in the slot one play, but then the backfield is the next, that changes what the defense is trying to do, and that can help an offensive play caller really mix and match and decide how best to attack that defense. So he's one of the best, he's 10 best players in the draft, no doubt about it. Will he be drafted in the top 10? That's a different story. I think if you get caught up with the T and the E, the tight end, just if you get caught up in that part of it, I can understand why you would be a little hesitant to draft Brock Bowers in the top 10. If you focus strictly on what the tape says, what the traits say, the different ways he can affect your offense and affect the scoreboard, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know what? We know how to best use him. We know how to best implement all this talent that he can bring to us. I mean, Jets, how many tight ends you see take jet sweeps and go and make a play? So, I think it wouldn't be crazy, but it would be risky to draft him there at number 7.
And, of course, one of the guys who may take one of those top 10 spots, and we see this so often, is a quarterback. And J.J. McCarthy seems to be the most discussed guy lately, Dane. And as you wrote in The Beast, his evaluation, quote, his evaluation feels incomplete, which I think is a good way to put it. I mean, I've always thought he had really high-level talent. He obviously wasn't asked to do the same things that other quarterbacks in other offenses have done. They won a national title doing what they did. What do you think of him? I guess, has your evaluation of him, what you were able to glean after going through all this information, changed from like when you started, and where do you think he goes?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I felt very alone on the J.J. McCarthy island in the summer, because he was back to my August top 50. He was a top 20 player for me, and I'm very optimistic about what he would be this season. And I mean, I still am. It's just a lot of people have passed me with their optimism for J.J. McCarthy. I still feel like he is a guy that's going to be an NFL starter somewhere in the mid-first round. That's where I feel comfortable drafting him. But it sure feels like he's going to go somewhere in the top 5 to 7 picks. And I understand there's a quarterback tax. Rarely do you draft the quarterback where ideally you grade him. You have to get him a little bit earlier. So that's part of this conversation. But yeah, with J.J. McCarthy, there's some things about his game that you wanted to see more of. And so it's a bigger projection than for most quarterbacks. And that's takes a little bit of faith. And I can understand why some teams are going to be like, no, we'll let somebody else, take that risk. Other teams are looking at their quarterback options, say the Vikings sitting there at 11, they make the trade. So they're in position now with 2 first round picks. to go get a quarterback. If they can't get up to three with the Patriots to get one of those top three quarterbacks, their next best option, as they see it, is, okay, we need to go get J.J. McCarthy. And that's assuming J.J. McCarthy doesn't go two or three, which you can't completely rule out at this point. Because, again, no consensus. Every team looks at these guys very, very differently. But let's say Jaden Daniels goes two, Drake May goes three to the Patriots. If you're the Vikings, you can't, and you know you need a quarterback and you don't want to wait another year, you can't sit back and say, oh, well, we'll take J.J. at 11. No, you got to go get him. And whether that's the Giants at six or another team like the Broncos or Raiders looking to trade up to get him. So, yeah, and I know fans they'll roll their eyes when you talk about quarterback win-loss record, but teams care about it. And therefore, it's relevant to the conversation. And with J.J. McCarthy, 36-2 with a state championship in high school, 27-1 with a national championship in college. And to your point, a lot of it was done with the ground game, with the way they built the trenches. But when they needed to play third down, fourth down, he made it consistently, especially late in games. So there's a lot about the tools and the talent with J.J. McCarthy that gives you plenty of optimism moving forward.
Talking to Dane Brueger from The Athletic, writes The Beast, the ultimate draft guide out there. It's amazing stuff. Hopefully Dane gets a nap soon here. but last thing for you, Dane, just the receiver group. Obviously, you know, it's the top three have sort of been compared against each other, but I mean, you can go pretty far into this. And I know you have like second round grades on like a Keon Coleman and Roman Wilson, but how good is this class maybe compared to recent classes, and how many difference makers beyond those top three do you see here?
It is a really good group. And honestly, I'm convinced that the rest of our lives, wide receiver is going to be strong every year, because that's where all the athletes are going. And if they can't play quarterback, they're going to receiver. And that's today's modern day NFL. That's who really scores the points and affects the scoreboard. So, yeah, you look at it at the top with the top three. And, again, no consensus. Some teams look at it a little bit differently with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze in terms of the order. Most have the same top three, but the order does shift a little bit from team to team based off of, you know, what they're looking for and what fits their offense. But after that, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, Adonai Mitchell from Texas, Ladd McConkey from Georgia, all these receivers, they're just all a little bit different. So it depends on if you're looking for that true X. Brian Thomas is going to be someone that you really target. If you're looking for more of a inside-outside presence, Ladd McConkey from Georgia makes a lot of sense. Ricky Pearsall from Florida. If you're looking for a pure ball winner down the field, Keon Coleman from Florida State. So all these receivers are lumped into the same position, but they're all so very different, X, Y, Z, the strengths that they bring. So I think it's important that we differentiate these receivers and what they do best on the football field, because every team's looking for something a little bit different as they try to fill out that receiver depth chart. So, yeah, this is another strong group. You don't have to get your guy early to get your receiver, like you're alluding to, third round, fourth round, fifth round. There's going to be wide receivers with talent. But we're also going to see these guys fly off the board. It won't be surprising at all if we see 13, 14, maybe 15 receivers off the board in the first two rounds.
Well, Dane, obviously you're a really busy man. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. And we've almost made it, my friend. The draft right around the corner.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Absolutely. Dane Brueger from The Athletic.